Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. Let us pray. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit here this morning. We say bless these words, Lord, your words, Father God, as we receive your grace and your mercy and your guidance in everything we do through your word, Father God. For it is truly our owner's manual in life. We just ask that you open the hearts and the minds of everyone here today that they may receive this message, Father God, and receive it well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So sometimes they call me the no-fluff pastor, but Pastor James that has written this book is actually the number one, top of the heap, no-fluff pastor. Amen. And so it's not all me, okay? I'm just relaying a message, amen? but amen. It is a great text, amen? So my sermon title today is, You Can't Take It With You. You can't take it with you. In September of 2013, this eccentric Portuguese billionaire named Count Chiquinho Scarpa, that's his name, posted to Facebook. He said he was going to be burying his million-dollar Bentley so that it would be waiting for him in the afterlife. Right? Amen? So a media frenzy ensued about his rash behavior. And when the day finally arrived for him to bury the vehicle, he did not, in fact, bury his car. Instead, he made a grand media statement on what was the first day of National Organ Donation Month. Amen? And he said, I didn't bury my car, but everyone thought it absurd when I said that I would. He said, what's absurd is burying your organs, which can save many lives. He said, nothing is more valuable in this life. Be a donor. I am. Amen? So he was just bringing attention to donor awareness. And I'm a donor too, by the way, just so you know. But besides, the count knew that he couldn't take his Bentley with him. Amen? He knew that. He knew that much. But remember also, as Christians, nothing that happens to the body either before death or after death is going to affect our salvation. Amen? Nothing will affect our salvation. That is a condition of the heart. And that the condition of our heart is what determines our salvation. Amen? Our relationship with Christ. And the point is, don't hoard things up for yourself in this world while oppressing the others in need. Amen? When we know there's things we can do for people, you know, that's what we should be doing. So do what is right in God's eyes, or your riches may be a curse to you. That's basically the message today. And you can't take your organs with you either. Okay? Amen? We're going to have glorified bodies. Amen? And we won't be needing those old organs. Amen? So don't take a lesson, huh? Amen, right? Amen. So don't take a lesson from King Tut, all right? Don't take a lesson from King Tut, but take a lesson from Jesus' story of the rich man in Matthew 19. Amen? And when the rich man told Jesus, all these commandments I have kept, what must I do to receive salvation? Amen? And Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions, give everything to the poor, and come follow me. And with that, you know, the young rich man went away sad, right? Because he couldn't do it. He couldn't let go of his possessions. Amen? And so that's not a parable, by the way. That is a story. That's a true story. Amen? And Jesus would then say that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to go to heaven, or for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So with that, I think I don't have a... Okay. Our first three verses. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. Wow. You have hoarded wealth in the last of the days. Last of days. So, after chapter 4, our last chapter that we preached on, James asked us to develop an idea, an idea of complete dependence on God, right? Giving everything to God, giving our lives to God, living our lives for God. Now he's speaking to those who may have the most temptation to live independently from God. Amen? He's speaking to the rich and the wealthy. And so he's not saying that the rich won't enter the kingdom of God. You know, even some of Jesus' own followers were rich. Amen? Some of his followers are rich. We had Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He was rich. Amen? And there he is up in the tree right there. Amen? he probably owned the tree. I don't know. But and then we had Joseph of Arimathea, whose tomb we used to bury Jesus, right? Amen? That's him right there. And he was rich. He had the tomb. And then we also had Barnabas, who was a bishop in Milan, but he was also rich. Amen? And there he is down here. So just because you're rich doesn't mean you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's not what James is saying. But wealth in this world can be an obstacle to grace. Wealth in this world can be an obstacle to grace. It always reminds me of Curcio when I hear that, obstacle to grace, right? The talk. So that was Jesus, you know, he was trying to explain in the story of the rich young ruler, he was trying to say that, trying to tell him what he needed to do to attain salvation. Amen? And the fact is that having a lot of wealth or belongings in this world can very easily take our eyes off the cross. And that's the problem. That's the problem with wealth. Amen? So riches can definitely be an obstacle to our faith. But we thank God that by His Spirit, we can overcome this obstacle and use our riches to better the kingdom of God. Amen? To better the kingdom of God. And, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, right? So, we all know the verse, 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, it is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. So it's the pursuit of money. Amen? Not the money itself, but the pursuit of the money that is the root of all evil. So, there's not a single sin, that is to say that there's not a single sin that we won't entertain to attain riches. Amen? And that lies the problem. Amen? That there's not a sin that we will not entertain to find riches. And so that's the challenge. This is the challenge for rich people of faith. So what does James say to those whose riches tend to drag them farther from Christ rather than, it drags them farther from Christ and closer to the world? What is James trying to say to them? In verse 1, he says, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. He's always so kind when he speaks, huh? James is telling them to mourn because of the very probable coming judgment, because they have riches. And they're so susceptible to falling away from Christ. Amen? So, is it a good thing to weep and wail? I guess it is if it prepares you for heaven, right? If it's preparing you for the coming judgment, then yeah, it's a good thing. It can be a good thing to weep and wail. John Trapp wrote, he's a little harder than James. John Trapp wrote, he said, better to weep here where there are wiping handkerchiefs in the hand of Christ than to have our eyes whipped out in hell. Better to howl with men now than to yell with devils later. Amen? So, there we go. Weeping is not a bad thing when we learn a lesson from it. Amen? Then in verse 2 he says that their wealth has rotted and moths have eaten their clothes. By wealth he means their food, their clothing, their gold, their silver. You know, these things, that all these things will rot away and you can't take them with you. Right? You can't take them with you. All these things are going to turn to dust. Amen? And so that's God's judgment. God's judgment will come upon all things as well as us. And we need to worry more about getting our heart right than getting our estate in order. Amen? That should be our number one concern, is getting our heart right. And now if we fail to do these things, verse 3 says that these things will be a witness against us and it'll eat our flesh like fire. My wife tells me that looks a lot like the one Pastor Rick picked for his sermon, but I didn't copy you, Pastor. But that's the closest one I could find, I guess, our flesh being eaten by fire. Amen? So no fluff by Pastor James. So this speaks of hell and the unquenchable fire. Amen? That's what he's speaking about. So the corruption of generosity, or the corruption or generosity of wealth in our lives, will be revealed on the day of judgment. That's basically what he's saying, okay? So all of our corruption or all of our generosity, everything, we're going to be judged on all that. Amen? We talked about the judgment seat last week. So where's the eye of the needle? Oh, there it is. Okay. So James is not only condemning those who hoard up wealth in the last days, but that we should be hoarding up wealth in heaven. We should be hoarding up wealth in heaven, not on earth. So and how do we do that? By being generous with our wealth. You know, that's an antidote that'll get us through the eye of the needle. Amen? But it's not just with our wealth. It's being generous in general, right? Being generous with our hearts, with our minds, and with doing things for others. Amen? Verse 4 said, look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. It's saying, if you made all of your money because you paid poor wages to the workers, or if you ripped off people and taken advantage of them, or if you made all your riches at the expense of others, amen? Not with the heart, right, for others. Then the Lord will hear the cries of those that you have exploited. That's what he's saying. So you might think you're getting away with something, but the Lord hears their cries, amen? These are some images of slave child labor in other countries. There are many countries in the world who use slave labor and forced child labor to produce their goods. Amen? And these goods are shipped and sold all around the world. And there are lists of these goods that you can find on the internet. And I didn't get a whole list because I didn't want everybody to start taking their Nikes off and stuff, but there are lists, and some people go so far as to boycott these items, and they won't wear them. They won't buy them. They won't wear them because they know. Amen. So three of those companies are, sorry to the chocolate lovers out there, but one of them is Nestle. Okay, Nestle. One is Philip Morris, the cigarette company, and one is Hershey's. These are three companies that, What's that? Hershey's, yeah, I'm sorry, I said Hershey's.
I know.
And I wasn't going to say it, but I'll let you know now that Apple was on the list too, by the way, so. Amen. And I'm a Galaxy guy, by the way, just so you know. I'm a Samsung guy, just so you know. My TV's... wasn't on the list. Amen.
So you're righteous, right?
I'm trying. I'm trying real hard, Pastor. China does. So does Mexico. Mexico does too. Africa has a lot of child labor, child slave labor too. But then there are those who turn a blind eye to this too. Amen? People who don't care. But there is one who is not turning a blind eye. Amen? And that's Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the one that's not turning a blind eye. He sees all, and He compiles the list that matters the most. He compiles the list of that, and that list is the list that is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? That's the list that matters the most. And those who exploit others to hoard their wealth on earth are going to face judgment someday. They will face judgment someday. And you can't take it with you, right? Whether you're going upstairs or downstairs, you can't take it with you. Amen? The next verses say, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. We can dominate almost any situation with our wealth and power. Amen? We can do that here on earth. But James is saying that the Lord is watching and that the day of judgment is coming. I got a story for you here. So about 320 years ago, Al, Big Joe, and Little Joe were making their way out west to make a name for themselves and fortune and fame, okay? So they got caught in a storm, and the temperatures dropped down below freezing, and Al knew that he wasn't going to make it out west. He knew that he wouldn't make it. So he said to Joe, Big Joe, he said, "I know I'm not going to make it out west." And Joe said, "Oh, yes, you will, Al." And Al said, "No, I'm not, Joe. I'm dying. But promise me that when you and Little Joe make it, that you will name a town after me, okay?" He said, "I want to be remembered." So Big Joe said, "Okay, Al, we will." And then Al said to Little Joe, he said, "Remind your dad when you guys make it to the west and claim your land and fortune, that you will name the town after me." And then Little Joe said, "Okay, Mr. Bukirky." Get it? Come on, Al Bukirky, right? All right. I got that from John Corson, but anyway. This is the story of how Albuquerque got its name. Amen? Amen? But really, but seriously, though. Albuquerque. I know it takes a while, right? Settle in, right? But really, most of the towns in America are named after someone who thought that that town being named after them would make them famous and that people would remember them forever. Amen? But the truth is that less than 5% of the towns that were named after someone in America are the people, less than 5% are remembered for the people they were named after, right? So like you didn't know that Albuquerque was named after Albuquerque, right? So there you go. The point is, things on this earth are not going to last. Amen? The things on this earth that we gain and acquire are fleeting and will eventually turn to dust. Not going to last. So don't use, condemn, murder, or exploit others for your gain. Because the treasures we store on earth will mean nothing one day. It will mean nothing. But the treasures we store in heaven because of our love for one another will last for eternity. It will last for eternity. And now James switches gears and he starts to address his true brothers in Christ in verse 7. He says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." There's a lot of New Testament writings. There were a lot of New Testament writings before the New Testament was actually canonized. Amen? And but the difference was that those writings were written by people who thought that the Lord was coming today. Amen? They wrote all these books and papers about, you know, because they thought the Lord was coming today. And or during their lifetime at least. Amen? Like Pastor Rick says all the time, "I'm pretty sure the Lord's coming in my lifetime," right? Right, that's what they said. And the truth was that he didn't come in their time, amen? And as the apostles started to grow old and die off, you know, they decided they better start putting these accounts on paper. The accounts of what, you know, of Jesus on paper, amen? And so it wasn't until around 400 A.D., that the books of the New Testament were canonized. Amen? And, of course, it was only first century eyewitnesses or people that interviewed eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we need to learn to stand firm and be patient. We need to be patient. James is saying that all you need to know is that the Lord is coming. Not when. None of us know when, the time or the day or the time, right? But that the Lord is coming and that it could be today. Maranatha. Amen. Maranatha. So, whatever you're going through, whatever you're waiting on, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. So be patient, stand firm, keep working. That's what they meant by these field farmers. Amen. Keep working. The Lord is coming. Morgan wrote, he said, sometimes indeed the very hope of the coming of the Lord has seemed to increase impatience rather than patience. Oh, to be patient in fellowship with God. So it seems the more we know, the more impatient we get sometimes. Amen? And we must remember whose timing it is, right? It's God's timing, not our timing. We must remember whose time it is. Remember, James said in the last chapter that we are but a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. But the Lord is coming. Will it be in our lifetime? I hope so. Amen? I hope so too. I sure hope so. But if it isn't, is that going to change how we live our lives and how we worship? It shouldn't, right? It shouldn't change that. And so we should stand firm knowing that the Lord has gone to prepare a place for all of us. Amen? No matter how long it takes. We must be patient. Sometimes the only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing that we had. Amen? Wishing that we had. I thought that was pretty powerful. The Lord sees all the chaos in the world today. He sees all the chaos. Do you think anything surprises God? No, nothing. He knows. Amen? He's always in control. He's always watching. And His timing is perfect. We may not see it today, but His timing is perfect. So grumbling. Have you talked with your coworkers lately about how lousy your boss is? Or about how lousy the company is? Amen? Have you grumbled a bit? Have you came home to tell your spouse, I can't believe what they're doing now? Right? They really did it this time. Grumble some more. Amen? Grumble some more. The Bible tells us, and James is saying to us, no. He's saying no. In verse 9 he says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So the message is, don't gossip, don't bicker, don't complain, just be grateful for your blessings. Be grateful for your blessings, and the Lord is coming. He's at the door, right? Remember the picture from last week? He's knocking at the door. He's at the door. Don't blame your problems on your brothers or sisters, and don't judge others in the process. And remember, we're not right with Christ because we forgive others, but because we are right with Christ, we can forgive others. Amen? Amen. Our forgiveness and our lifestyle should be a marker. They should know we are Christians by our love. Amen? It should be a marker of who we are and what we're doing. James is saying, as we wait for Jesus to come back, let's try not to destroy each other. Let's not complain and moan, but let us be patient. Amen? The Lord is coming back. That's my favorite picture, the Lord coming back. The Lord is coming back, and while we wait, we should be producing the fruit rather than complaining about the journey. Amen? We should be producing fruit in our lives. Remember, God not only gives us free will, but He also allows hardships in our lives to produce perseverance and dependence upon Him. Amen? He wants us to be dependent upon Him. Thanks be to God that He uses all things for His good. Amen? He uses all things for His good. Then there's another picture of patience from James, and that is in the example of the prophets in verse 10. He says, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. In verse 11 he says, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Amen. So James knows that sometimes we need to see that others have endured hardships as bad or if not worse than ours. And that just as God got them through it, He can work in our lives too. Amen? He can work in our lives too. And we may also learn a thing or two from these examples, right? And we call these examples testimonies. Amen? It's testimonies. And James is reminding us that the Old Testament prophets endured many hardships, but they also practiced patient endurance. And some of those examples were, first, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was tortured. He was thrown in prison. But yet, through it all, he had patient endurance. And we had Job, okay? This is the only time that Job is mentioned in the New Testament. In this verse right here, verse 11. So James tells us three things in verse 11 about Job and how they can be an example for us to follow. Number one, he says, the perseverance of Job. The perseverance of Job. You know, Job did show amazing perseverance, right? He lost everything, including his children. He lost everything. And still, he did not curse God. Amen? Under every attack from Satan, he refused to turn his back on God. He refused to turn his back on God. Job had no idea why he was suffering, but he continued to trust in God. He continued to trust in God regardless. And remember, he said to his wife, after she kept telling him to curse God, right? He said to his wife, he said, how can we accept the blessings from God and not accept the trouble? Right? We got to trust God, right? Through everything. How can we accept the good and not accept the bad? We got to believe that God is in control. Amen? Number two, it said, the end intended by the Lord. The end intended by the Lord. The verse says, what the Lord brought about. What the Lord brought about through this. The ultimate purpose for this pain brought upon Job. That purpose would be a lesson in perseverance under trial, okay? He's a lesson for us. God, Jesus was making a lesson for us. And that would testify as God's purpose. And it may have looked bad for Job, right? It looked really bad for Job, amen? But it was for an eternal purpose, amen? It was for an eternal purpose. And God would restore him as well. Amen? You hear that, Gilbert? God would restore him, okay? Here's a great example of this point by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said, what am I going to think if a man comes to me with a knife? He said, it depends on the circumstances. If it's some thief or murderer, I'm going to fear for my life. But if it's a surgeon whose purpose is to do good in my life, then I will welcome him and be okay with it. Amen? So it's how we perceive, right? Through our perseverance. Amen? When we see God allowing hardships in our lives directed for His eternal purpose, it can be scary, but we have to trust in His will. No matter what we're going through, we have to trust in God's will. This is a story that I'm going to tell you about our sister in Christ, Kathy Gardner. She gave me permission to tell. And this is a story of cancer and the purpose towards her husband's salvation. Amen. About 6 years ago, our sister in Christ, Kathy Gardner, was coming to church by herself because her son was in jail. And her husband had stopped attending a couple years prior. Amen. And then a terrible thing happened. And Kathy got cancer. Amen? Kathy got cancer and the battle would begin. Not knowing what God was doing at the time, Kathy would still continue to drive herself to church. During her battle, Kathy would always invite family, and Michael would attend most weeks when he was home. The family would come from time to time, but mostly on holidays. But Kathy was always faithful. Through it all, Kathy was always faithful. Kathy would be healed. Amen? Thanks to our Lord and Savior. Amen. And the prayers of the people. And but she would again find herself in this battle. This time she would get so sick that she would have to be hospitalized and have a major surgery. Amen. And because we were in the middle of a pandemic, she would have to stop coming to church, stop attending church in person. And Pastor Rick would visit her every month and take her communion. Amen. And about this time, and during this, when he was doing these visits, Jim, Kathy's husband, was not having any part of it. Amen. He would actually get up and leave the room while they prayed and while they did communion and while they talked. And so Kathy would continue to recover. And her numbers got much better. And she would return to church, starting with a Bible study. Amen. Women's tea, Bible study. And then eventually, she would start coming back to service. And her husband, Jim, started to bring Kathy to service. She would return to church, starting with the Bible study, and eventually the service while Jim stayed home, and Michael would drive her to church. Amen? So Jim stayed home, and Michael would drive her to church, right, Kathy? And then Michael would land a permanent job, amen? Another blessing from God, amen? And he would no longer be able to bring Kathy to church. So her husband, Jim, started to bring Kathy to service. Amen? And he would either drop her off or he would wait in the parking lot for her. And until one day, God working again. Amen? Jim said to Kathy, she said, "Where are you going?" He said, I'm going with you. Praise God. Amen? And Jim would start attending services with Kathy. And his favorite song, by the way, Pastor, is "Long Black Train." Okay, amen. So we got some good out of that long nod, but you know, Jim's a country western type of guy, right? So he likes that kind of music, amen. So then he's coming to church, he's liking the music. Then Pastor Rolf starts his Bible study in the fellowship hall, amen. And Miss Shirley invites Kathy to go to the Bible study. So Jim's bringing Kathy to service, and Miss Shirley's taking her home after the Bible study. Amen? And so then guess who decides to start coming to Bible study? Right? Our brother Jim. Amen? So he starts coming to Bible study, and you know, and now he's getting along with the guys, and he's starting to become a part of the family. Amen? In more ways than one. But all this to say that God uses everything. Amen? God uses everything. Even cancer. And for his good. And Kathy's greatest wish, her greatest wish in life to spend eternity with her husband has come true. Amen. Thanks be to God, right? Amen. And thank you, Kathy, for allowing me to share that story. Amen. And all thanks be to God. Amen. 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 And our brother Jim is in the hospital right now. And we're all praying for him. He's going to have open heart surgery tomorrow. And so keep him in your prayers, please. And he's strong. Doctor says he's strong. He's in good spirits, considering. Amen. And just keep him in your prayers. And we know the Lord's going to deliver him. Amen. Amen. So the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. We can quickly think that God was cruel to Job, or that he was cruel to Kathy and not caring about their hardships. but using them for His good purpose. But no, in the end, the Lord was compassionate to Job and to Kathy. Amen? Oh, and by the way, Kathy is now cancer-free. Again, once again, right? Once again, amen? Amen? Not quite, but the closest she's been in a long time. Amen? Amen. So all thanks be to God. Amen? And so, in the end, the Lord was compassionate. Amen? So if God allows hardships in your life, it could be for a good reason. Amen? It could be for a good reason. So we might not see that reason in this life, but the reason is still good. The reason is still good. And if you feel that you're under spiritual attack, remember that God is always in control. God is always in control. God will sustain us. If He brings us to it, He'll get us through it. Amen? If He brings us to it, He'll get us through it. Even if it means calling us home. And how bad is that, really? You know, how bad is that? God uses everything for His good. Last verse says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. So James is saying to watch what you say and be honest, basically, right? Watch what you say and be honest, because otherwise you will be condemned. Matthew 12:36 says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. So we should be careful what we say. Amen? We should be careful what we say. God is watching and listening to everything we say. Even in traffic when we're driving by ourselves. Amen? God is listening, okay? Amen? And so what does our knowledge of this judgment lead us to? What does that knowledge of that lead us to? Amen? It should be leading us to say, I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Amen? That's what it should be leading us all to say. I fail daily. I fail daily. Because I've made promises I can't keep. I've sworn an oath that I shouldn't have sworn. I have sinned by my words. And I need a Savior in my life. That's all of our stories. Amen? That's all of our stories. We are all sinners saved by grace. And I love this picture of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. All this to say that our faith in Jesus Christ should help us in being sure that our yeses remain yeses and that our noes remain noes. Amen? Jesus to keep us on track. So by putting our faith in God and giving our lives to Jesus, Christ can be patient in our suffering. And the best part is that faith and patience, that we can take with us. Amen? That faith and patience we will take with us. Thanks be to God. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your guidance. We thank You for your patience. We thank You for Your grace in our lives, Lord. May everything we do bring glory to Your name. May we treat others with love and respect. And may we honor You in all we do. Father God, we ask that You forgive us for any time we fall short of Your glory. And we pray that You continue to go before us in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.